copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Mutual acceptance. I was telling someone this afternoon that I was going to talk on mutual acceptance in marriage, and that person opened her eyes and said, "Where did you learn that? Where did you learn acceptance? Is acceptance something to be learned?" It is. I remember a man in Spain who made a kind of funny, but in a sense serious version of the hymn, "Trust and Obey." There is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. You know that hymn?
Yeah.
And he said to his wife, "Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in marriage than to trust and obey me." This is exactly the opposite of what we are going to talk tonight. Marriage is not a matter of someone giving orders and another one obeying, but it's a matter of mutual acceptance. Mutual acceptance in marriage is a sign of emotional and spiritual maturity, and it is a requisite for a long-lasting relationship. Actually, there is a lot of acceptance in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. Christian life implies a lot of acceptance. For example, if you remember how the Epistle of Romans ends, Romans 14:15, the weak Christians and the strong Christians, and then there is a climax in Romans 15:7 when it says, "Accept one another. Accept one another as Christ accepted you." Later on, we will come to this verse. Acceptance is one of the pillars of marriage. In my own experience, I think there are basically three pillars, three columns in marriage: communication, intimacy — global intimacy, I'm not referring primarily to sexual intimacy, intimacy in general, including emotional intimacy — and acceptance. The lack of acceptance makes a marriage fragile. And the more acceptance grows, the stronger the marriage becomes. In other words, to close this introduction, a long-lasting, a healthy relationship greatly relies on mutual acceptance. This is why it is such an important topic. Let's consider — I guess you have the outlines with you, haven't you? Have you got the outlines? You can follow them. It will help you, because I will be following the outlines. First, we have to understand what acceptance is and what it is not. Some distorted views. What acceptance is not. Some people believe that acceptance means agreeing with or liking. You have to agree with the spouse or like certain things if that is acceptance. Acceptance is not agreeing with or liking. You can accept even when you disagree. I want to emphasize this point. There can be acceptance in disagreement. We are all very different from one another. Actually, mutual attraction is based on differences. You can see this very well in temperaments. Usually an extrovert person feels attracted towards the introvert person, and we could mention many other examples. The coming together of our genetic, biographical, and circumstances factors makes each individual a little universe that is very, very different from all the others. So first of all, we have to understand that acceptance is not agreeing with or liking. Secondly, acceptance is not blind eyes, or putting it in theological terms, cheap grace. Blind eyes or cheap grace. You cannot say okay when it is not okay. We cannot accept what is morally wrong. We'll see some examples later on. So when we say that acceptance is essential in marriage, this is not a plea for relativism. We are not talking about moral aspects or moral factors. Cheap grace that says okay when it's not okay has no place in marriage. Thirdly, acceptance does not mean understanding everything. I don't know how many of you are married and for how many years have you been married, but even if you have been married for 25, 30 years, there are some things in the behavior of your spouse that you do not understand. You simply don't understand. You just don't understand. And when you do not understand, what do? You accept. As we'll see in a minute, you do not try to change them. So acceptance does not mean understanding everything. There will be things in our marriage, in our spouse, that you will never understand from our perspective. Now then, we have seen what acceptance is not. What is acceptance then? Acceptance, and I quote Romans 15:7. I think it's important to give a biblical foundation to our argument. Acceptance is receiving one another, receiving each other. You know the verb used in Romans 15:7, the verb in Greek translated accept one another is receive one another. Receive one another. I like that idea. I like that verb used in the original Greek. Accepting is receiving. Receiving means open arms. You don't need to know a lot of non-verbal communication. You don't need to be an expert psychologist to know that when a person makes like this, what message is that person giving us? He or she is closing, okay? When the person is embracing, he or she is opening, receiving. Acceptance is open arms. I receive you regardless our differences. I receive you with open arms even in the midst of our differences. Not even in spite of our differences, but through, together with our differences. Because our differences, as we will see, are a factor that enriches our marriage. We receive one another not in spite of our differences, but together with them. Acceptance celebrates the difference as a divine gift. This is another aspect of acceptance. Acceptance rejoices, celebrates the difference as a divine gift. God created us differently, as we said, and we need to be different to enrich each other. Acceptance celebrates the complementarity. We are complementary. The suitable help of Genesis 2:20. Acceptance means being ready to agree that we disagree. For us, for me, coming from a Mediterranean country, a Latin European country, and perhaps some of you in your countries feel identified with this, we have hot blood. And temperamentally, we are prone to quarrel, to shout, and we find it very, very difficult to agree that we disagree. To agree in our disagreement. And that is a requisite for acceptance. Acceptance finally means renouncing to change your spouse into a copy of you, as we will see later on. There are some models that help. One is taken from a parable. It's fiction, but it's a powerful parable, and it comes from Jesus. So we will use this, the father of the prodigal son. What did the father of the prodigal son do? He received his son with open arms. He accepted him fully, but not approving, not with the approval of the wrong behavior. The father of the prodigal son didn't say, "It doesn't matter what you did." He didn't say that. He said, "Welcome, I receive you with open arms." And above all, the supreme model for us of acceptance, as Paul says in Romans 15:7, is Christ. Christ's acceptance as a supreme model, he receives us with open arms. The act of embracing is very powerful in marriage. Embraces are very necessary. Medicine has proved today that when you embrace, when you give a hug to your spouse, your brain delivers oxytocin. Oxytocin is a very powerful, positive, stimulating hormone. It's called the hormone of happiness. Do you want to decrease your adrenaline? Hug your spouse. Open arms. Less adrenaline, more oxytocin is the best remedy for many marriages. Less adrenaline in the midst of such stress, more oxytocin. In the midst of stress, embrace, open arms, accept, hug your spouse. Because ultimately, following the model of Christ, acceptance is a matter of love and mercy. The father of the prodigal son was moved by love and mercy. A love that embraces the imperfect without agreeing with the sin. And a mercy that supports the weaker. Let's repeat that idea. ultimately, acceptance is a matter of love and mercy. A love that embraces the imperfect and a mercy that supports the weaker. We're getting to the end of this short talk. There is a time to accept, but there is also a time to correct. We said that acceptance does not mean cheap grace, blind eyes. Acceptance is not a blank check. Acceptance does not exclude correcting. Changing is also loving. Jesus fully accepted and loved his disciples, didn't he? Yet he corrected them when it was needed. He corrected Peter. He corrected Thomas. He corrected several times. Marriage is school of learning. Marriage is not Disney World. Marriage is school of learning and therefore of changing. Marriage is a school of learning and changing. There is a place for mutual learning and modeling in the relationship. Growing together as disciples of Christ is one of the great privileges and joys of marriage. And we should remember that correcting has to do primarily not with likings, but with the moral factors we mentioned earlier. And correcting does not mean rejecting the person. I would like to close by mentioning that famous prayer called the Serenity Prayer, which is actually the acceptance prayer. It's attributed to the liberal theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, but liberal theologians also can have some good contributions, and we take advantage of them. And Niebuhr, this prayer is attributed to Reinhold Niebuhr. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. This is a beautiful prayer that I want to apply to marriage. Mutual acceptance is a source of joy. And you will notice in the title of this short talk that I called it the quiet weapon of love. Acceptance is the quiet weapon of love. You will discover, as acceptance grows, that you feel more free in your marriage. You will feel more enriched, and you will feel that your relationship grows more and more as you accept mutually. May God give us the capacity to accept one another, receive one another with open arms, as Christ did with us.